You are listening to the Payton and Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, we have had such a tremendous week dealing with the NAACP. Who would believe that the NAACP tried to cut out and run out on a hotel bill over $100,000 as the corruption rolled on? The NAACP, we are targeting them. We are going to show them that they are going to have to come into our community and do the right thing and start fighting for civil rights. If not, we're going to break you down to your lowest term. Also, the city of Detroit now has an emergency manager, Kevin Orr. He's being paid $275,000 to work for the corporations to get rid of everything of value inside the city of Detroit. He has four liens on his home. That's right. He has four liens on his home, and he's going to come into Benton Harbor, I'm sorry, Detroit, Michigan, and straighten Detroit out. If that's not the biggest joke, I don't know what is. But we the people, some of this stuff is our fault. We allow these people to continue to do the same thing over and over and over again, and nobody speaks up. Those of you who are out there who are being targeted by our government, that's right, targeted by our government. I know you don't believe it, you people out there who are not being targeted, but you are being targeted. There are over 1 million people being targeted by our government using mind control, the microwave, lasers, you name it, they're doing it. They're doing it because the people is allowing it to happen. Normally, if it's not happening to you, you don't believe it. You don't believe that this government could be this rotten. But we're living in a time now where the government want to control everything that you're doing. Trust me, they got concentration camps already set up to be used for each and every one of us. That's right, because they have no use for us anymore. With automation, they don't need you working in the manufacturing plants no more. With the computer, that's correct. But we're going to take a stand and we're going to fight them. We're going to show them what we're made of. We're not going to allow them to push us around any longer. We're going to stand up to this government, and we're going to show them what we're capable of doing. Those of you who are out there, be ready. Also, those of you who have a computer, I want you to go online, and I want you to sign the petition for Lynn Stewart. She is a political prisoner that your government have placed in prison for 10 years for a crime that was never committed. So we need people to go online today and sign the petition to have Lynn Stewart released as soon as possible. And listen, you people out there, don't think that it can't happen to you. Let's listen to a little Martin Luther King. And then we're going to bring on our guest, Daniel Stockton. Let's listen.
Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian civil rights
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, I want everybody who's able to get to Washington, D.C., April the 3rd. We should be there between 9 and 9:30. We're going to call a press conference in Washington, D.C. at 10:30. Be there, 1156 15th Street, Northwest. Be there. Also, April the 4th, we will be in Baltimore at the national headquarters of the NAACP. It is the 45th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King. We will be there between 9 and 9:30. We will call a press conference at 10:30, and we will continue to move on. On that note, I got to bring in David Stockton. David Stockton, are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I hear you quite well. How are you doing today?
All is well. Thank you for having me today.
Oh, no, no. It's my pleasure, because I think you got some information that people need to know about. So listen, let's not hesitate. Let's get right into the show. Talk to me.
Sure. Well, I'm here to talk about the news, the very disturbing news that's now coming out about harm from drinking fluoridated city water, particularly the disproportionate harm that we now know is occurring to members of the Black community. This is very disturbing, and there's a scandal unfolding called Fluoride Gate. So that's what I'd like to share with some developments about today.
All right, let's get into it.
Well, there's, for the past 50 or 60 years in our country, we've been adding this chemical fluoride to drinking water, and the idea is to help prevent cavities. That's what we were told. But the news that is leaked out now is very disturbing, because it shows that no one had ever really looked at the whole body outside the mouth effects of fluoride in drinking water. And to give you a little perspective about it, when you brush your teeth, flip over the toothpaste tube that you have, and on the back there's a warning. And the warning is about the fluoride chemical that is in the toothpaste. It's the same concept. Fluorides are in the water, and they're in toothpaste. But in the toothpaste, it says that we're to spit it out. That's why we spit out our toothpaste, so we don't swallow the fluoride. And it says, if you accidentally swallow more than used for brushing, to call poison control. Most folks have never read that warning on the back of their toothpaste tube. But what's very disturbing is that just a tiny bit of regular fluoridated toothpaste, just a tiny bit, like less than a pea, like a lentil size, if you were to swallow that, that's the amount we're to spit out. But a large glass of fluoridated city water has the exact same amount of fluoride. So we drink and ingest the fluoride in water without spitting it out, but we've been told to spit it out in toothpaste, which, of course, doesn't make any sense. But the very sad and very hard for me to hear. I'm a public health professional. The issue is that there's a lot of science that shows that members of the Black community are disproportionately harmed by the fluoride. And we know that it's happening in their teeth, in their kidneys, and for diabetics. And it's also happening in the thyroid issues, where a lot of ladies today have thyroid disease. So this is what we wanted to share today, and I'd be glad to tell you more. I thought maybe you might have some questions for me about it, but I'd be glad to tell you more.
I do have some questions. I need you to tell me, how dangerous is it?
Well, the fluoride is, if you were to give a sudden dose of arsenic and lead and fluoride to the same bunch of rats, it turns out that the fluoride is just a little bit less toxic than the arsenic, but more toxic than the lead. So it's very harmful when you get a sudden dose all at once. And the disturbing part is that it also accumulates in your body over time. If you get a small amount, you just keep drinking it every day, little by little, it starts building up in our bones and joints. And it also deposits in the pineal gland of the brain. So this, to me, it's a no-brainer. I have been involved in toxic assessments in my career, public health. And this is really a no-brainer. But you know what happens sometimes when corporations and government folks get involved in programs, and if they ever find out that there's a problem, putting the brakes on it can be pretty hard sometimes.
Oh, absolutely. And listen, I mean, a lot of times they care less, because remember, it cuts into this the corporation pocket also. Can you imagine Colgate telling somebody they're going to stop making toothpaste, or they're going to keep the fluoride out of it?
I bet you didn't know this, that right now if you go to Walmart or Target or some of these other big retailers, that there's a toothpaste sold by Colgate for toddlers. And on the front of the box it says, fluoride-free, safe if swallowed. And most folks have no idea that that is even available. And the issue, of course, is you would ask yourself, why are they selling a toothpaste for toddlers that has no fluoride and it says you're safe by not swallowing fluoride? That's because if you do swallow fluoride, there is harm that does occur. And other corporations are now figuring it out. This is the next asbestos in the court, fluoride. And there's a whole series of concerns about what fluoride is doing, because nobody bothered to look at the whole body outside the mouth effects of fluoride, because years ago they were just talking about cavities.
Wow.
So, of course, when you ingest something, it goes into every cell of your body, not just around where your teeth are.
Mm.
So that's one of the really bad things about it.
Right. Daniel, how did you stumble on top of this? Tell me a little bit about your work and what you do.
Yes. Well, I'm the former manager of the EPA Western Regional Lead Training Center, and I'm a career public health person, 25 years. I have been involved in toxics assessment and hazmat, and I got pulled into this because my boss got a rash on her forearm. She's a woman. She's turning 80 this year, and the doctors could not fix it. And, you know, we shower in this fluoridated water, and it goes through your skin. Some people have reactions to the fluoride. Some it's more pronounced than others. But the most visible sign is, have you ever seen, Reverend Pinckney, have you ever seen people who have kind of funny-looking white or yellow or brown spots or stains on their front optical teeth?
Oh,
well,
absolutely.
That's a sign of fluoride overdose as a child. It's called dental fluorosis. And I got pulled into this. I had never been drinking fluoridated water because I didn't live in a community with the water with the fluoride.
Uh-huh.
But when I moved to the south, suddenly my boss got this rash. She called me into her office. The doctors were not able to fix it. So she said to me, could this water, this fluoridated water I'm now drinking and showering in, could it have caused the rash that the doctors can't fix? So I looked into the science on it, and it's a slam dunk. And this is crazy. The rest of the world has figured this out, but the countries that have a very strong dental lobby,
yes,
they're the ones that keep fluoridating. And people say to me, why? Oh, I'll tell you why. They're afraid of being sued if they admit the harm. That's what's happening.
Wow. Well, why don't they just take the fluoride out of the toothpaste?
Well, you know, they'll tell us, and you'll hear a lot of people say, well, the children, the cavities, all the cavities. What they don't tell you is that in countries that don't add fluoride to the water, they've had the same reduction overall in cavities that we have. So what's occurred is we found originally they thought you had to put it in water to drink it systemically for the fluoride to be incorporated in your teeth and then resist cavities. But we found out around the year 2000 that that's not the way fluoride works with cavities. It has to be touching your teeth topically to help prevent the cavity. So why would we keep swallowing it? That's the issue. So this is the next thing in the court. It's going to be enormous. And I'm so grateful to have the opportunity to share with you and your listeners, because this scandal, Fluoridegate, a large part of it is the fact that the Centers for Disease Control and the dental lobby, they actually know that fluoride is creating harm disproportionately in the black community, and they are refusing to do anything. And you and I both know it's because they're afraid of being sued.
Absolutely. Hey, Daniel, why does everything seem to be going into the black community that's detrimental to the health of the people?
Well,
seem like they experiment everything into the black community? Like this fluoride, I know it's all over, but when I think about fluoride and I think about the water, especially here in the city of Benton Harbor, the water here is bad. It is so bad that, you know, that I refuse to drink it myself, but I still wash up with it. I still, when we cook, we boil it, but the point is, it's still there.
Well, that's the problem. Do you know that when you, let's say you're going to make some spaghetti or some kind of pasta with, when you boil fluoridated water, you know, some of the water level will drop down a little bit?
Yes.
Well, the fluoride does not boil off with the water. Rather, it concentrates. It's more concentrated in the remaining water when you boil it.
Wow.
And that's what makes one of the things that makes it very disturbing. And Gerber is now selling a one-gallon jug called Gerber Pure Water. And on the label, it has that little smiling Gerber logo, you know, the baby logo.
Yeah.
And right next to it, it says, no added fluoride. They're selling that water so parents won't use fluoridated city water to make baby formula for their young baby. But did anybody bother telling that to the folks who most need to have that information? And, you know, to me, that's what's so disturbing is the very people who financially cannot afford to avoid fluoride are the folks that really need to be avoiding it for their babies, or maybe let's say you have kidney stones and, you know, you drink a lot of water to help prevent kidney stones.
Yes.
Well, if you're drinking fluoridated water, you just hit your kidneys with all this extra fluoride. And the National Kidney Foundation, I bet you probably never heard, they very quietly removed their endorsement of water fluoridation.
Mm.
So you might say, why did they do it so quietly? Well, you could also ask the question, could it be because they get disease control that promotes fluoridation?
Wow. Wow. Daniel, that is tremendous. But listen, you got about 4 minutes to say whatever you want. I don't care what you say. Just say it.
Okay. Well, if anyone who is listening to this knows anyone, maybe themselves or their children or someone they know that has some unexplained white or yellow spots or streaks on their teeth, usually it's your top middle teeth, or it can be a number of teeth. It can be 2 or 5 or 10. And you just don't know why they're there. They're usually on the cutting, biting edges of your teeth. That may be something called dental fluorosis. And this is where the first legal actions are going to be happening. So I would suggest that if anyone wants to find out more, first of all, to educate themselves, because that's a sign, if you have fluorosis, of overexposure to fluoride. And particularly for children's sake, I'm really concerned about this, but also for kidney patients, they need to learn about fluoride, et cetera. So if anyone wants to learn more about this, is it okay if I give our website and email?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very, very important that you do that. Go right ahead.
Our website address is powerandhealth.org, just like it sounds, powerandhealth, powerandhealth.org. And you can click on there to learn about harm from fluoride. And I can be emailed through that website. I can also give you an email address. It's stockin2@yahoo.com. That's S-T-O-C-K-I-N, and then the numeral 2, stockin2@yahoo.com. And I'll give you my number. If anyone wants to call, it's 706-669-0786. That's 706-669-0786. And the reason to contact is I'm just hopeful to share this message. And if people are concerned that they or their children may have been harmed, I'm not a lawyer. I don't pretend to be. But there are some things that folks might want to learn about what their options are. And first of all, to get educated and to find out about, definitely, no matter what, if you have a baby, my personal opinion is that it would be very important to learn about whether or not you really want to be using that tap water for making milk formula. Personally, I would never do that. I just wouldn't. And there's a scandal unfolding called Fluoridegate, and there's a movie that's a documentary that's now come out. You can see it for free online. It's only an hour, and that's found at fluoridegate.org, fluoridegate.org. And it'll turn you on your ear. It just is a very, very important movie for people to see.
And you know what, Daniel, you are absolutely correct. And, you know, most of the time you never think about the fluoride that's in the toothpaste that could be so dangerous. I tell you that is tremendous. When I first talked with you in reference to that, I was amazed at some of the things that you was telling me. And listen, this is an opportunity for people to educate themselves, to go to your website, also to call you. You have given them permission to call you. Please, the people out there, call them and find out exactly what's going on. And Daniel, I would like for you to stick around for a few minutes if you can, and I want you to I'm going to give you the last word today, and you can talk a little bit more about that fluoride and just encourage people to call you and also to take a good look at this fluoride. And I read the label on the toothpaste, and matter of fact, my wife, she went and got it and brought it to me the day we was talking, and it actually says that if you swallow it, you need to call the emergency room immediately. I'm shocked,
well,
Daniel. I'm shocked.
It should be. We should all be shocked because the public health community knew better. They have deliberately, because they're afraid of being sued, they figure they're going to allow the harm to continue. And I just don't believe that's morally right.
And, you know, I agree with you 100%. Well, listen, Daniel, please stay with us. Don't leave me. And we'll let you have the last word. Dr. Short, are you there?
Yes, I am here. It is good to hear your voice and that of my friend, Brother Daniel Stockton. And all I can say to you is that one thing that he didn't mention, although he has a wealth, he sent me a document showing that the American Dental Association is afraid that there would be a move against fluoride in our community if we knew how dangerous it was. And they bought off. They found some black neck state legislators and some black neck dentists, and they're conspiring. These are Negroes, the black necks, the people I complain about, the traitors, the modern-day slave trader, cabaleer-type Negroes who are holding us down, who are worse than a million membership-plus Ku Klux Klan that are doing this from the inside. You know, we need to start at our churches and places. We need to start asking these doctors and lawyers and dentists where they stand on public health and civil rights issues that concern us, because a whole lot of them, we just give them a pass because they aren't white, which is racist. And they're doing all kinds of monstrous things to us in cahoots with the 1% of the bigots and the other groups killing everybody else. And it's time we get tired of it. It's time that we start dealing with the fact that some folks think they're better than everybody else, and to our detriment and destruction, whether it's Depo-Provera, whether it's Gardasil, whether it's high-fructose corn syrup, whether it's fluoride. You can bet you there's a black neck somewhere behind the desk with the suit on that's helping kill us.
And you know what, Dana? I agree with you 100%. It appears that even with even in the city of Benton Harbor, with our elected officials, at one time we had the edge. Now they got the edge. Like I said, Whirlpool has the edge. The NAACP and everything else, and I don't know whether you received my email today. The NAACP was caught in Houston. They refused to pay a hotel bill that was over $100,000.
I sent it to you.
I just want to make sure.
I just want to make sure
that you and I is on the same page.
Yeah,
but,
we're on the same
absolutely.
Thing.
And what makes it so amazing, the NAACP think they're bigger than life.
They think they're bigger than white. You know what? They've become honorary slaveholders. They think they've made it. They're playing the role Django was in the house when he was pretending like he picked out the Mandingos to fight. Yeah. That's how the NAACP, but you know what, unlike Django, who got some revenge in the end, if the NAACP had been Django, they would have been laughing when that dog got, when the man got eaten by the bloodhound.
Uh-huh.
That's how they are.
Yeah.
That's how we have sociopathic, wicked, demonic, hell-inspired people who are black, who are destroying us, and they're getting the pass. And, you know, the Bible teaches us in the book of James to be partial is an abomination. It is an abomination that we let Boy Jealous or Karen Boykin's Town or Rosalind Brock or these other people dog us, and yet if someone white did 1%, we'd scream and holler racism. But when it's a black person, a sellout, we give them a pass.
Yes, absolutely.
It's black ministers and black politicians that are going along with this martial law over in East Flatbush where they shot down this 16-year-old boy. And I don't want to get off on subject, but remember, I called you. You know, we've been saying that folks need to call in to the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People and tell them enough is enough. We're sick of them. And I wrote out the script. You want me to read it for folks? Because we need people to
read it. And then also, do you have the number available?
Oh, you know I do. You know, God's
used it. Give the number. We want everybody to call the NAACP tomorrow. Just make one call. And you can get, if you don't want to say a whole lot, you can just say that we want Ben Jealous to resign along with the executive board. Go ahead.
Now, what I have on Facebook, I named it Make the Call of Freedom and Tell the Out of Touch and Corrupt NAACP How You Feel. And this is what I want folks to say. I, and I'll use my name, Dr. Randy Short, am calling to demonstrate my anger and disgust with the National Board of Directors of the NAACP, who have betrayed the black community and are living on past reputation. You have become corrupt and wicked, taking bribes from our enemies, promoting values that the majority of us do not share, and giving us nothing in return for our memberships and participation. We demand that Ben Jealous, Rosalind Brock, Karen Boykin's Town, and the rest of the National Board of Directors resign so the membership can elect its National Board leadership on a fair, honest, and open manner. We will continue to burn our membership cards, make protest calls, boycott your corporate sponsors, and picket your offices, events, and fundraisers. Enough is enough of your support of our slow genocide for corporation crumbs while our unborn are slaughtered by Planned Parenthood, our girls poisoned with Depo-Provera and Gardasil, and you refuse to stop the mass murder of our boys and men by racist police. We will overcome you and stop your crimes against the African-American people. Tell your controllers we will never again be ruled by outside interest. And if you agree with me, I got a bunch of numbers, but I'll give you the main ones, folks. I hope you're writing. The NAACP national headquarters number is 410-580-5777. There is another number, their toll-free number, in case you don't have a whole lot of long distance, save that money. It's 877 NAACP 98 877 NAACP 98. There is another Baltimore number. It is 410-580-5615. I believe that's the fundraising number. They don't want that one called. And then the Washington Bureau, because, you know,
you don't have to give them too many numbers. It'll confuse them.
I'll give one more. I'm going to stop here because we heard that they have, like, they're almost slumlords. The headquarters, I mean, a rat wouldn't want to be in there from what we've been hearing about Baltimore, Jesus.
Yeah.
So we got to give them a D.C. number because, you know, D.C.'s going up and all the yuppies and bougies are moving in. They probably are all hanging in D.C. and avoiding their office there. That number is 202-463-2940. And if you want to jam up their email, it's Washington, the city. W-A-S-H-I-N-G-T-O-N, Bureau, B as in boy, U as in unicorn, R as in Randy, E as in elephant, A as in apple, U as in umbrella, at NAACP.net, I'm sorry, not .net, NAACPnet.org. Flood that thing. And Reverend Pinkney, I have to disagree with you, and you're my brother, my leader. I say call them 20 times in a week.
That's
have
right.
All your friends.
I want you to call them until they get sick.
Yeah, make them understand that we're going to do Joshua and Jericho. We're going to march around them 7 times. I hope it falls down. They're on the same block as Planned Parenthood. We can take out 2 thugs with 1 brick. We're tired of these people. Also, remember that thing I found? You know, we were online last night doing research because y'all know Eric Holder. He's the attorney general. He's a Barbadian American that doesn't like black people, who Obama put in. If you wonder why, when folks have been getting murdered the last 5 years and the Justice Department's done everything except give the people dum-dum bullets and ask for videos so they can laugh at it here in D.C. as they shoot our kids down, Eric Holder's brother-in-law, he was an abortionist, and the family's in the abortion business down in Atlanta, and the abortionist that was renting the building or using or co-owned the building was Eric Holder's wife, Sharon Malone, who works in the place that they do abortions here in D.C. I got that number, too. We'll do that next week because they're probably guilty. We were doing this research. They've stolen, this man, Dr. Malloy, has stolen like $380,000 in false Medicaid charges. And you know some of that money must have went to somebody else. And ever since Eric Holder has been in, everybody that's pro-life, they've been trying to put him in jail or mess him up. I wonder why. I didn't remember Reverend Pinkney. Holy Ghost got all over my keyboard. I kept looking. There was a case dismissed on March 15th this month where this woman alleged that people were running trains on her in a house not far from where I live in Washington, D.C. I think the address is 302 V Street, Northeast. And she named Eric Holder and one of his as someone that was doing it to her. And my God, just because it's dismissed didn't mean something happened. She had way too much information on folks. She knew who she was talking about. But this woman claimed over the course of last summer that at least 5 or 6 men were having sex with her while she was drugged. She named Eric Holder as one of them.
That's right.
And then she claimed on the 23rd of June last year, Mrs. Holder gave her an abortion without her permission. Whether this is true or not, I hope it's not true, but I'm telling you, Washington, D.C., if you wonder why the country's so messed up, we got some freaks up in this place. They're the weirdest, nastiest, most perverted folk. They don't care if your bridges are falling down or your grid. They just want to give all the money to the rich and do all sorts of debauched stuff, and that's why this country's going to hell. We need the spiritual movement to clean up this country, and that includes we got some debauched blacknecks. Remember, the man from TransAfrica used to say that people in D.C. had degenerative Vernon Jordan disease. List somebody get to the District of Columbia, and they call themselves a black leader. By the time they paid them off, taking them to enough gay bathhouses, they ain't doing nothing for nobody but their nerve endings and their bank account. I swear to God I'm telling you the truth.
And very good. Dr. Short, it's time for us to burn the NAACP card.
Burn them.
But you stay with me because I'm going to let you come back and give me 5 more minutes. But here's what we want to do right now. I got over 90 NAACP cards that got to be burned. I need 10 more. I want to have 100 to burn next Saturday. And I'm going to videotape it in my garage once again, and I got about 400 or 500 other items, hats, T-shirts, plaques, tickets, you name it. I'm going to barbecue next Saturday at 1 o'clock Michigan time. But on that note, I made a commitment today to about 4 people that they claimed that they were going to burn their cars, but I want everybody else to mail your card to me. Mail your card to me so I can burn it next Saturday. If I can get over 100, I'll be happy. But whatever you give me, it's going to be a great day. And we want to make sure people understand how important it is for everybody to be in Washington, D.C. and Baltimore. Don't forget that Baltimore, which is so important, because it's time that we make people put up or shut up. Let's listen to a little Tracy Chapman, and then we'll be back in about 90 seconds. Are talking about a revolution, a real one. We have to tell this government that we're not going to take this mess anymore, that enough is enough. At 6 o'clock, it will be TI time. 6 p.m. Eastern time, it will be TI time. On that note, I got to bring my buddy, my friend, my main man, Dr. Short back. But after that, we're going to listen to Bernice Priestley and then Mary in that order. Thank you. Dr. Short, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Reverend Pinckney. And I want to thank you for your leadership. I want to thank you for what you're doing for Lynn Stewart. I am elated, although I wish the circumstances were different, that people are coming together, all types, to unite. I want to give you a report that the people of Washington, D.C. have Walmart on the run. They're demanding a living wage, or Walmart can't come into Washington, D.C.
Absolutely.
We can force these people to respect us, no matter what our color, or our class, or our background. We can demand that these people treat us with the respect that we deserve. I want to say to you that I see movement. I see the movement in New York. There's a young man in Trenton, New Jersey, that I'm going to bring us into contact with, who got framed because he was fighting the drug dealers in the city of Trenton. And by the way, he was left hung out to dry by, you guessed it, the NAACP and others. It's I keep getting these stories. They think that we're petty, Reverend Pinkney, when we tell them that all day long you get calls. I went to the NAACP. I was a member, and I asked them to help turn their back on me. They ran from me. These are people that knew me. You know how you hear these stories? It's like, I gave hundreds, I gave thousands, I gave my time, I knocked on doors, I raised money. Why, you know, when I needed help, they were gone. They were gone.
Wow.
And that's the whole trick. The reason I bring this up, because we don't get into all of the wickedness of the NAACP, but one thing that really irks me, the NAACP, going all the way back to its beginning, has always been an organization that was pro-war. They supported the Vietnam War, the Korean War, World War I, World War II. There's never been a war that you'll see the NAACP leadership come out against. If you saw that Obama was just over in Israel and Jordan, it's looking like we may have American soldiers in Syria. And if they get Syria, it means they're going to Iran. We're talking about World War III, and not a peep comes out of these folks.
Yeah.
And remember, not too long ago, they had this meeting with Obama where they're talking about a black agenda.
Yeah.
Did you hear anything that came out of it?
Absolutely.
Anything?
Dr. Short, you got about 30 seconds, and I got to move on. Go right ahead.
I just want to tell folks, no matter what it is that you think that we're not doing or not discussing, we need to see you here in Washington on April 3rd. There are so many levels to this. Until only when we all get together and share our stories do we see the monstrosity of why we need to go against the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People. Bless you.
Hey, thank you so much, Dr. Short. Just stick with us. Don't leave us. Bernice Priestley, are you there? Ms. Priestley. Okay. My good friend Mary. Mary, are you there?
I am here, Reverend Pinkney, and I wish you a very happy Sunday and our radio audience. I tell you, I have learned so much today about fluoride. Now, the gentleman, Mr. Richard, one thing I was waiting for him to say is that something I read about fluoride is that it is like a saltpeter. It is something that takes away people's drive. You know, a lot of people wonder why the sheeple, they call people sheeple, sheep, do not stand up against oppression and against injustice. And it could be that fluoride is instrumental in making people feel a false sense of satisfaction or relaxation, that it depletes people of their fighting drive. So now, I don't know if that's true. I'm not a chemist, but I have read it. Also, regarding the NAACP, Reverend Pinkney, I want you to know that I started sending out notices. I didn't want to do it too far ahead of time, but now we're down to 2 weeks, and I sent out notices to all my groups, a lot of my groups on Facebook, and I'll get to the rest of them this week, to let them know that April 3rd and April 4th are going to be days that we will protest the NAACP, which is the National Association for the Advancement of Corporate Profits. We will protest the NAACP. We will no longer give an organization a free pass because it says it is for the advancement of colored people. The NAACP has not been that for a long time. Everyone I've introduced to you, sir, who came to this show for help, have gone to the NAACP in their local areas first. And they found no assistance, not even a voice. The people were not even willing to make a phone call on their behalf, much less write a letter. And so I bring them to Reverend Pinkney because you, sir, you have the voice of justice, because you are a real man of God. God is interested in justice. God says that we are to stand up for the poor and oppressed and everyone who's appointed to destruction. And so that is in Proverbs 31, 8 through 9. And I'm so glad to be associated with you, with Ralph Porter and his beautiful wife, Lynn Stewart, who is right now elderly. I know she probably doesn't think of herself as elderly, but if you're over 70, it's okay to say elderly. And she's got stage 4 cancer, and she's in the prison down there, Carswell Medical Prison down there in Texas. And she has stage 4 cancer, and I'm asking every day for people to please sign her petition for her to get compassionate release, even if she had done something that was wrong. I think that people, when they get elderly and they're no threat to society, they need to be out of prison and off the corporate payroll. Yes, they're making money off prisoners. But Lynn Stewart didn't do anything to deserve 10 years incarceration, knowing that is essentially a death penalty. I've been writing this week about the NAACP protests. I've been writing about Lynn Stewart, and I've been writing about prisoners. One prisoner that they released in New York, 2 days later he had a heart attack because he had been incarcerated for 23 years for a crime he was exonerated of. The boy, who was 13 when he said he picked this man out of a lineup, he admitted that he was coached to do that by a detective. That man did not do it. He confessed that he had been coached to do that. He did it when he was 13, and he took it back. And so they released the man, but then 2 days later, he had a massive heart attack. This is happening to people across the nation, 5,000 to 10,000 wrongful convictions every year. This is wrong. We need to be aware of but it's making money off of other people's distress, especially mentally ill people. 2.5 million people are in prison in America, and 1.25 million of them are mental patients, and they should not be there. I please ask you to look at the story of Jeff Benedetti. That's Jeff Benedetti. He's in my blog, Dog Justice for the Mentally Ill. He came down with schizophrenia, and they railroaded him into jail. He will be sentenced the first week of April. The first week of April is going to be a time when we have a lot going on. We have to stand up against oppression, and let's start at home. Let's start with our own who are oppressing us. That is the NAACP. They sit at the table, and they have organizations pass the check to them for black people, for our benefit. That's the thing. You have someone who is really against you collecting money on your behalf that in turn never gets used for the purpose for which the giver intended it. Now, some of these organizations are not against blacks. They are really trying to help blacks, and they give the NAACP our check. They pass the check to the enemy. So this is unacceptable, and I'm so glad that you, Reverend Pinckney, have said that you want the tax, the exempt status, taken away from the NAACP because it is like an arm. It operates as an annex to the Democratic Party. You cannot be a tax-deductible or a tax-exempt organization if you are putting forth a particular agenda for a political party. You have to declare yourself a political party and then just do it that way. You cannot pretend to be for the advancement of colored people and then turn around and really be for a political party. You can't do that. So they don't need their tax-exempt status anymore. They need to declare themselves an arm of the Obama administration and just take it like that. So I'm glad that that's out. In Memphis, Tennessee, we have a situation where we have Lorenzo Irving, a great freedom fighter. He's been a freedom fighter ever since he was in the Black Panther Party when he was a very young man. He continues to fight for justice. He and his wife, Jonina, moved to Memphis, Tennessee, because that city was hurting for some attention. That's where my brother, Larry Neal, was secretly arrested and murdered after 18 days when police denied that they had him incarcerated. They murdered Larry because he was a mentally ill man, and the police loved to kill the mentally ill. They lied and said they did not have him when, in fact, they had him hiding him in Memphis Shelby County Jail while he died of we don't know what, because neither they nor the injustice system that sold out United States Department of Justice will not tell us how they murdered him, whether they tasered him, put him in a restraint chair, beat him to death. We don't know, and I have been censored and persecuted for saying that, and I'm so glad, Reverend Pinkney, that you have the targeted individuals on your show. So this is what's going on in Memphis. They continue to kill at least one black person a month. The KKK has decided to rally in Memphis on March 30th. That's next week. They're going to rally in Memphis. That's this weekend, I think, coming up. And Lorenzo Irving has been persecuted for saying that he and his group, he has a whole group of people, they are going to rally against the KKK. The KKK is rallying because a park, the name of a park in Memphis got changed. It was named the Forest Park. Nathan Forrest was the first Grand Wizard of the KKK, and he and his men were credited with killing hundreds of slaves. Hundreds during the Civil War. He was a Civil War general, I think. And so they want the park to stay Forest Park. And they are rallying the KKK. They say it won't be 20 or 30 people. They expect thousands of KKK members from around the country to converge on Memphis, Tennessee. And the NAACP shook hands with the Sons of Confederate Veterans. They shook hands together and they said, we're going to just ignore the KKK. And Jonina Irving and her husband, Lorenzo Irving, they didn't agree with that. They nor their organizations, the Memphis Black Autonomy Network and Ada B. Wells Foundation Against Police Brutality, they didn't agree that we would not rally against the KKK and rally against police brutality next week. They didn't agree to that, but they took out an old warrant, 12 years old, against Mr. Lorenzo Irving. They got an old warrant, says a fugitive warrant for misdemeanor arrest that he had 12 years ago in Chattanooga. Read more about that. Just type in Mary Neal Lorenzo Irving, E-R-V-I-N, and read about that, or even type Mary Neal KKK rally. And so I thank you, Reverend Pinkney, for giving us this opportunity to talk about the important things that are happening. I invite everybody to just put in Mary Neal Free Speak Blog. Do you know, you had on the show a couple of weeks ago, you remember Edith, you had on here Reddick.
Right.
She was the lady who got the enforced sterilization.
Uh-huh.
What's happening wonderful is that they are, this black man and a group of people and whoever wants to donate, they are opening a center here in Atlanta for unwed mothers, pregnant black people, and people who have little children who don't have a place to go. They're opening a center for unwed mothers to give them an alternative to abortion. You know, it's one thing to talk about don't abort your babies, but it's another thing to reach out a hand and make it possible for these young ladies to have their children. Because you know, you just have to do something practical. And we just don't want to be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. So this center is going to be named after Elaine Reddick, who has made a great big lifestyle of standing up for unborn babies. And I thank you, Reverend Pinkney.
That's tremendous. I'm excited about that. But listen, I got to move on. But look, you hang with me. Don't leave me.
Thank you.
All right now. Hey, it's time for our TIs now. It's TI time. Those of you who are out there who don't believe that our government, yes, your government, your President Obama, especially you black folks, I know y'all love y'all some Obama. But unfortunately, he's not the man you think he is. Those of you out there who've been targeted by our government, we're going to make them put up or shut up. But we got to get bigger and stronger. I know there's a lot of people out there that's being targeted by our government. I know it's over 1 million people. It's time that we all come together. On Tuesday night, we had a great call. Great call. But we can do better. Well, at this time, I got to bring on a guy who I know, a guy who's been targeted. Is that Cernoff?
Peter Cernoff.
707-528-8211. Are you there?
Yes, I am. This is Peter Alexander Cernoff. How are you, Reverend Pinkney? I've been listening to you. I like the fire that's going on there. And I'll just run with this for a minute and tell you that I was born into the MK Ultra program. I've been associated as a gopher, a white slave prostitute to some very high up people when I was much younger. And people that were associated to the Project Paperclip crowd, which you're probably familiar with now. And so some of the people that they did not mention, and it's still national security, that were brought over included Dr. Joseph Mengele. And surprisingly enough, you know, when people hear the truth, they just can't believe it because they've been told the opposite for so long. But in fact, Adolf Hitler came over here. He died in California in 1986. He was the Rothschilds bloodline. He came over here with $80 million. And so I just wanted to run by you real quick that I've been involved in this, and I was pulled out of this by some powerful spiritual people in the early 1990s. In 2003, I was in jail for 5 months, and I fasted 140 out of 150 days. I lost over 50 pounds. And what's referred to as the black lightning separation walls in the brain and the mind broke down, and I was flooded with memories, and I solved numerous Bay Area crimes from the 1980s for law enforcement. So I was subjected to Mengele personally, but he was known. He had several pseudonyms. One of them was the one that I knew, and that was Dr. Felix Polk of the Bay Area. And I also met Adolphus Eidler on several occasions. I'm just going to run for another minute, and then I'll answer anything you got. You know, we were, you know, from the darkness comes a light. And I was listening to your show about the revolution, and I say revolution here and now, laying down the sword, picking up the plow. For if the living Lord truly be in your heart, well, then all aboard by April 1st, this call to action to cease the curse. For as surely as Martin Luther King saw the promised land, we make it real by the 40-day general strike being Almighty's command. Cease ye paying all mortgages and rents, and this time is the time to get off the fence. No more harm beside the old vicious bankers who screw us forever and maintain oil tankers. We're tired of all mammon's devious curses. Starting this full moon, refuse to open your purses. No bills for any utilities. Let them all see. No smart meters, no fluoride, no CEOs for PG&E. Attaining the promised land, as you may like, requires faith and courage. and the 40-day general strike. For we were born into a world of lies. Isn't that true? And the whopper of them all was delivered centuries ago by Catholic correctors as they altered the definition of murder to exclude the animals. And that is absolutely true, because I know this has been given to me by the source, Reverend Pinckney, 1,000 times over, and I also heard it joked about and discussed by these satanic characters when I was in their world during the 80s, and to break one commandment means to break them all. And then they tell you not to take the Lord's name in vain, and the religious world has been deceived about that, and this goes back centuries. Because what it means is if you do not abide by the commandments, and then you be asking Almighty for guidance and assistance, well, that's what it means to take the name in vain. That's also why these Catholic correctors made darn sure that the Gospel of the Essenes was excluded from the Bible, because in the Gospel of the Essenes, Jesus spoke more than any other gospel, and he did so as a vegetarian, explaining the commandment against murder. So it is these things that these two deceptions that have undermined most all good efforts for centuries while maintaining wars. And
right.
I am that I am, and I am here, and I am speaking to your audience free of all fear. And I tell you truly through my heart that this general strike for freedom, it's time be now to start. And we have put this message out throughout the West Coast to the migrant laborers, to the truckers, to the longshoremen, to the students, because what have the students been learning in school but to remain and be acquiescent and subservient to D.C. as a fool? Whereas our students have a lot of power, and it is now time to open this flower. It is time to know that Almighty be in our heart, and I say, arise, one and all, it's time we start. For unto Peter were given the keys, and so to the law that puts the world to its knees. And I am Peter, yes, I am. And the path to this promised land be the 40-day general strike of all labor in schools and every slaughterhouse forever, because in the promised land it'd be a place of beautiful gardens with children and animals enjoying the sunshine in a peaceful manner.
That's
and
good.
That is
sure
why.
Let me ask you this. When did you start, when were you first involved with that MK Ultra program?
Reverend, I was born into it. I'm what's referred to as a multi-generational.
Okay.
When I was way younger, they used me for child pornography. They used me for various purposes. But then and then because of the people that I was involved with, which was at a very high level, I was presented some rather specific programming, which also included being programmed for different things in three different languages.
Interesting.
And I have, and as I told Ted Gunderson, the former head of Los Angeles FBI, during our five-hour interview, that there is, I highly doubt there's anybody in California's death row that had been involved in seeing or being involved in more heinous crimes and murders of children and adults than myself during that part of my life. And that is why I am grateful and thankful for the power of Almighty and those who are powerful spiritual warriors that pulled me out of this in the early 1990s.
Wow, that's amazing when you think about it. Are you being microwaved or anything?
No, I'm not. You know, and I've traveled around the country sharing information because you know when all this things turned for me, you know, I was given to some very powerful prophetic messages, and when I say that, you know, unto Peter we're given the keys, there's a law that makes the Ten Commandments as one, and it goes that, you know, as the ten shall be as one, we'll see the new dawn's rising sun, and this call comes not from this world, but from deep within our hearts, with truth from beyond and above, by Almighty's strength and Almighty's love. And so it is the reference being the 40-day general strike that shuts down every face of mammon. And behind these two doors is the promised land. Behind the second door are all true hearts, the people that I hear in your show that are willing to do whatever it takes without violence to change from where we are to where we wish to be. But most have not known the nature of the chains in their own feet, which is alcohol and animal flesh. And we're given to open up the first door, behind which is Brother Leonard Peltier, who is the most famous political prisoner in the world, right next to Mumia Abu-Jamal. And so we have to set these brothers free. And like Martin Luther King said, if one person is wrongfully incarcerated, so are we all. But on a spiritual level, that includes the animals as well. And I was going to ask, if you don't mind, if you have an email, because I was going to send you something that I was just given and I wrote, and it's a reference to the Freedom Strike and my two witnesses. I wrote about the two
Absolutely.
Witnesses,
this
and they
is,
are.
Before you go on, you have a connection with what's his name? You just mentioned his name, the one that's in prison.
Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Right.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about
that
connection you have with him.
1981 in Philadelphia, with that character that got famous at Penn State for harming little children, Sandusky. He was one of my handlers because I was from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. And so he would come down and pick me up, and we'd go over to the Harrisburg East Mall, and that's where they had the Purple Cow Pizzeria that was stocked with heroin that was brought in from the military in the Carolinas. And we would routinely go down to Philadelphia, and they would use me as a male prostitute. And that is the night that they killed the honest white officer by the name of Officer Faulkner. And they decided to fuel everybody's anger, because then they blamed Mumia Abu-Jamal, who was also known as Wesley Cook at the time. And Wesley Cook was a dangerous writer since the age of 15 for the Black Panthers. He did not commit that crime, because another brother has admitted to it, and I have also verified what that brother said, that he did it. He was hired by the police departments and the drug dealers. And I was there. I saw it happen, and I shared with you how to see where my affidavit is. I hope you had time to see it. And because I put that affidavit out all over Pennsylvania, specifically in Harrisburg and Philadelphia, I believe that that had a lot to do with getting him off death row, which is not enough and not acceptable. He needs to be set free, but the people have to understand that asking a system as corrupt as it is will do nothing. The only thing they will understand is the general strike. We don't need to be protesting in the streets. We need to terminate our purse strings and shut down the bankers and put them on their knees. For surely as God had a hand in taking that crooked pope and kicking him off the throne, the next step is to knock these bankers off their seats. And that will be done by the 40-day general strike. And that will free Mumia Abu-Jamal, and that will free Brother Leonard Peltier, and that will free Dr. Jeffrey McDonald, the Green Beret who blew the whistle on Bush's heroin back in the day, and they murdered his two beautiful daughters and pregnant wife. And so I write about these three prisoners, and I have for 20 years. And, you know, I hear a lot of people on your show making reference to just black people, but I'll tell you, when I've gone to colleges and high schools, and I'm the only gringo there sometimes, and I'll say something about Mumia Abu-Jamal and Leonard Peltier, somebody will pipe up and say, well, you see what white people's done to us people of color? And I says, I don't have to hear that. That makes no sense at all. You don't know your history. There are good people and bad people in all races and all groups. It is. We're talking
absolutely.
About people of the heart
correct.
And people that are true to Almighty, and they come in all colors. And so
you're
I
right.
tell them about Dr. McDonald, the Green Beret, who did the same thing as Jamal and Peltier, which is stand up to Mammon, the god of greed that runs his country and the world, which allows for Satanael to have his playground. And that is because we are the ones that are allowing it, because we've been lied to about the animal flesh industry, and we maintain it, and that is what maintains all this insanity. And that is why we can never get a response that'll be positive from our government. You remember a long time ago, I think it was Roosevelt that said America is the great experiment. Well, it's a great spiritual experiment, and it is time for us to get on board with the Almighty Living Lord and lay down the sword, because the animals need to be set free. They can't set us free. We were given domain over the animals and the earth to love them and take care of them, not to do what we have seen has already been done.
Absolutely.
Isn't that
absolutely
true?
Listen, I want you to hang on. Don't leave me, because I got to bring on a couple of more of my TIs, and we'll talk soon. Do not leave me as of yet, all right?
You want me to stay on?
Yes, please.
I will.
Ken, are you there?
I'm here, Reverend Pinkney. How you doing today?
Doing great. How about yourself?
Oh, not too bad.
Hey, thanks, you know what? I tell you, we have had a tremendous day today, and it's just amazing what we can do when we work together.
It sure is. You know,
listen, while you're online, I want to talk a little bit more. I think the last time we talked about the faith-based money, and there's some other things that I want to talk about the TIs so people can understand how important it is for people to stand up for the TIs. Can you do that for me?
Oh, sure. It's very important that everybody stands up for us, because when one of us is a slave, we're all slaves. And they do plan on using this technology on everybody. I mean, it's unbelievable that the amount of people that don't want to believe it's going on, but there are more and more waking up. I can see the wake up coming. You know, it's just I don't know. I just turned off this morning. It's funny, Daniel was talking about the fluoride in the water, because I had an article I was going to bring that up today, but it causes cancer, diabetes. It's a byproduct that we get out of China. It's poison. And also, people that don't want to use the water, they better check, because a lot of the bottled water also has fluoride in it.
And so, you know, one thing the bottled water do, that plastic that it comes in, that's toxic also.
Right. And another thing I want to bring up is the main number one job the NAACP should be doing right now, 50% of black babies, and you can Google this up, are aborted every year in this country. Their number one fight should be to stop that. And I read an article today, 38% of blacks trust the government. How can you trust the government when they're aborting 50% of your babies through the Planned Parenthood? You know, we all got to wake up, no matter what color we are, and fight this battle.
Absolutely. No question about that. We have to wake up and deal with this thing, because this is a real monster that we're fighting. And, just to know that 50% of the black babies are aborted. And, you know, and then they're using that Depo-Provera also to prevent you from having babies. So they, you know, it's kind of like saying that, when you talk about eugenics and stuff like that, you know what you're talking about when you say those words.
Right.
So it's amazing when we think about it. Genocide right here. But I tell you one thing. We better pull this thing together and work together. Everybody work together to fight this monster, because this government is not going to get any better.
No, it's not going to get any better unless we force them to.
That's right.
It's just like the clergy response team. All these pastors, whether you're black or white, people better be asking their pastor if he belongs to that clergy response team. And that's where we need to start at, because that's the most of them.
Yes.
You know, and they belong to it for a few dollars, and they've been lied to, and they're selling out their congregations. I mean, that's where we need to attack them at. That's got to stop. That, you know, a TI can go to a church and get treated like crap at a church because they've been told a lie about the person, and then they follow right through with it and go along with it. And it's unbelievable, because I don't go to church. But a lot of TIs tell me to go to church, and they treat them like they're a nutcase or something. Why? It's because they're told to do it.
Absolutely.
And that clergy response team, people better be checking to see if their pastor belongs to that.
Absolutely. And I would say probably 90% of the pastor belongs to it.
Well, you know, Hitler had 75% of churches when he took power to kill all the Jews. He had 75% of the churches in his country, and we're following the same pattern that Hitler did.
And also, you know, Obama probably got about 90% of the black churches.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I wouldn't be shocked at all, to know that he had 90%.
Did you know that Hitler put fluoride in the water and the food in the prison? Because it actually eats part of your brain away, and it makes you, they call it mellow you out. Well, no, it dumbs you down. So
absolutely, and I believe that's what's going on today, because they don't care nothing about the people anymore. But the people got to start caring about themselves.
Right. I know one thing. If you go down to your city hall and start asking about fluoride in the water, they will fight you tooth and nail because the federal government's paying them to put that in our water.
Wow. Yeah, I believe that too. But listen, I'm going to bring Amy on right fast, and you just hang with me and don't leave me.
Okay, thank you, Reverend Pinion. I'll see you in a few days.
All right, that's right. What day? That's Wednesday, is that correct?
I'm not sure. I'll give you a call on that.
Okay, all right then. We'll be ready.
Okay.
All right. Ali, are you there?
Yeah, Reverend Pinion, call on Tammy 2643, because she's going to share some very important information, how they done went crazy, FDA, and approved implants and medication in the pill form.
What is it?
2643.
All right. I think I lost Tammy.
Okay, I'm here.
Tammy, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing, Tammy?
I'm pretty good. How are you today, Reverend Pinion?
Great. I lost on my board. It looked like somebody just eliminated you all of a sudden. How can they eliminate a person like you?
Well, when you speak of elimination, it's all right, because I'm back on the call, and I'm going to make this real quick. But I just want to get the word out there. And first of all, I want to thank you for allowing me to speak on this.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of people don't get certain information. We may watch the news, but this is something that I don't know if people know about. But I actually spoke to a guy, because some things that you see on the Internet, it's not always true. So you got to do your research. And I just want to encourage everyone on this call, and this is including myself, we've got to put some time in to studying, because knowledge is power. And when you know what you're talking about, you're able to articulate it. All you need to do is be able to articulate it, and you're going to win over the person. It's not really about winning them over. You're seeking the truth. You're telling them, and as many people as we can get to understand this technology and what we're going through, you got to do it, but you also got to know what you're talking about. So speaking in terms of the pill, I found out that the FDA has actually, back in August of 2012, the 1st of August, they approved a pill that has a microchip in it the size of the grain of rice. That pill is supposed to help the doctors monitor the patients to understand when they're taking their medication and so forth. And it's also supposed to help them monitor their heart rates and so forth. But I'm here to tell you that also, if you go on the website, on the FDA website, it's going to outline some of their concerns about not only this pill, but some other devices that they have approved, such as the EEG electrolodes, which they can, these are little tiny pins that they can put under your skin. Long story short, all of this, these are devices have to do with the Gwen Tower, which are able to.
Tammy, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead. Keep talking.
I don't know what you guys have heard, because I just noticed that my phone was placed on mute, but I'm going to go back to the pill and to the fact that on the FDA website, they have their own concern about not only the pill, but there are other devices that they have approved, such as an EEG electrode. This is placed, these are little tiny pins that are placed under the skin that are able to receive transmission through airwaves. Now, what is their concern and what is our concern? Well, they can send, if someone gets a hold of your medical history, they will know that you have these devices in you, and they can interfere by way of computer or cell phone if they're savvy enough to understand this technology. And they can torment you and harass you by sending electromagnetic shockwaves to your body, because that's what these devices are designed to do.
And Tammy, that's really what they be doing anyway. And I think
they are doing is called remote neural monitoring. But they have used it there. I'm a patient, a former patient. I had neck surgery. So someone might say, well, the reason why I am so interested in this and I have done my research is because after my surgery, I had complications out of this world. And, you know, I went from doctor to doctor. And then the Lord, the Holy Spirit, revealed to me. I fasted for close to 2 months. And the Lord revealed to me what it was. And I found out, even just recently, he's continuously revealing that they are using us as human subjects to remotely control us via these devices that they have secretively placed in us. They're supposed to be for a good cause, because during the surgery they placed these electrolyte needles under your skin, and this is to monitor your nervous system so that the doctor does not damage your nerves. Well, what is happening is they're leaving them in your bodies so that you can continuously be remotely controlled, and they can send shockwaves to your body. I just spoke to a nurse this past Thursday, and she confirmed that they send a light, what they call impulse, to your body remotely. What they're doing is they have increased the frequency from what is the norm, from what the FDA has allowed them to do. And if it's on the black market, so you know if anything is on the black market, they're doing whatever they want to do under the sun. They are sending high-frequency electromagnetic shockwaves to the bodies of those people who have any type of RFID device in them. What is an RFID? It is a remote control device that allows any transmission to flow to your body through the airwaves.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm glad that you do so much homework. Tell me, you're being attacked by with the microwave, is that correct?
I just before I was scheduled to speak, they sent a shockwave. I am, now that I know more about this technology, I am a major target.
Mm. Do it keep you woke at night?
Oh, yes. Now, lately I haven't been, but I've had days where I have not had any sleep. I have, but the Lord is with me because he gives me strength daily because I trust him. And it's also a mind game, too. If they can get your mind, they can truly control you with these devices.
And you know, one of the things, Tammy, that I'm saying to everybody, we got to keep ourselves active. You know, instead of them attacking us, we should be attacking them. And we got to start being out here doing things. We can't sit at home and lay in the bed and say they're attacking us, they're microwaving us, they're using lasers on us, they're doing this to us. But we got to get out there and start doing things to them. And I think that's how you deal with this thing. I know it's a big monster. I know it's tough. I know it's probably easy for me to say. But look, Tammy, we got to get out there. We got to be out there in the field, as I call it, battling this situation.
That's right, as much as you can, and they're going to try and stop you, but you've got to be determined. And Reverend Pinkney, you are considered a higher being before the Lord, because you are a reverend. And so you can concur with me if I say this, that the only way you're going to battle this is if you have a relationship with God. To have a relationship. A lot of people say highest power. I'm not saying no high. The highest power, which is God. You got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I have heard another guy, he wrote a book called Deeper Insights to the Illuminati Formula. This is a Christian. There were two guys, but in particular this guy, he's a Christian, and I believe him. His book is on the website. You can, on the internet, you can download it. But even he himself in this book is saying that you can combat these demons by letting them know that you belong to a higher power, which is God, and you have a relationship with his son, which is Jesus Christ, because that is the only way you're going to have strength from day to day to get up and do what you do. That's the only way I have strength, because they can whip your behind with this technology, but you can whip them back with quoting the word of God and telling them what thus saith the Lord, and you keep it moving. You're right. And also, Reverend Pinkney, you said that we've got to fight. You have to tell people how to fight. First of all, you can't fight if you don't have any power. You've
got
to have a relationship with Christ. You've got to know the Lord for yourself. That's number one. And how do you know him? You've got to get into the word of God. You've got to combat them with the word of God. Now, as you are doing your research, because you're going to be attacked, that's when the word of God comes into play, not just for them, for you, because the scripture says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It is the word that's going to increase your faith. You got to have some faith dealing with this stuff.
Absolutely. And Tammy, you are right on the money, and I tell people this all the time, you know, you put God first. If you put him first, all this other stuff will fall right in line for you. You wouldn't have to worry about it because you're so busy concentrating on the Lord. And I believe in that. You know, a lot of people may not believe in God, but I do. I believe I can do nothing without him. I wouldn't be able to be sitting here talking to you today without him, you see. And if you knew some of the situations I have been in, that I know that I didn't do it by myself. And I know that, you know, without God, we can do nothing. And I tell you, one other thing that I need you to explain to me. Tell us, how do it feel when they hit you with this microwave?
Well, let me explain to you what it actually is. They're sending electricity to your body. That's
okay.
What they're sending. That is the bottom line. In the state of Florida, they have these people that are on death row. They are they take these people's lives using an electric chair. And I like to give this analogy because it's no different. The only difference is that the frequency, the amount of electricity that they're sending to your body. But how does it feel if you have ever put your finger or placed your finger up to an electrical socket and it shocked you? Just imagine that magnified to 100 times worse. That is how it feels. You're being electrocuted. They're sending electromagnetic shock waves, which is nothing but electricity, that we cannot see. They're sending it to your body, and they're literally electrocuting you.
Wow.
We can't talk to those people that they've electrocuted in the state of Florida because they're dead and gone. But I guarantee you, I've seen one on video, and it's not a pretty sight. It's the only difference between us and them is that they send a lower frequency.
That's amazing. That's amazing, Tammy. I tell you, you know, you can sit back and tell people about this all day long and nobody would believe you, but I believe this stuff is happening, and I believe that people need to know about this, and this is why I have my TI time on my show. But listen, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want, then I got to move on.
Okay, thank you. I just want to say that God is real, and I just encourage all of you to just get to know him, get to have a relationship with Jesus Christ as you try to combat this demon, because Jesus said that some things of this kind only come out by fasting and prayer. And I also want to tell you that, as I said before, you've got to study. You've got to wake up daily and put time in to understanding what we're going through. One last thing. They're able to control us. Now, understand this. When they put these things in us, they're controlling us by our cranial nervous system. The cranial nerve controls our sensory system, our sensory. So that's your eyes, your ear, anything you can touch, feel. So they actually have control over that and are monitoring that. And that's why you feel so much the pain is excruciating. So do your homework. But most importantly, read the word of God so you can tell them what thus said the Lord, because there's nothing greater. I don't care what they do. There's nothing greater. There's no one that has any more power than the Almighty One, which is our God.
Amen. And Tammy, this is what we're going to do as TIs. Every Tuesday from 6 to 6, we're going to fast. We're not going to take in any food, only water for that period of time. And let's hope it doesn't have fluoride in the water. But what we want to do every Tuesday from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., we're going to start fasting. And we have to make a sacrifice. See, this is what, if we're going to win this battle, we have to sacrifice. And I know that we can do that. But Tammy, on that note, I got to move on. But remember that every Tuesday, all the TIs, and I want y'all to spread the word that we are not going to take in any food from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Okay? God bless you. And you stick with me, Tammy. Don't leave me.
I won't.
All right. Libby, are you there?
Yes, I am. And I'm looking at bhbanco.org.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that you have spoken of this already, but I'll just say it again. There will be important, crucially important protests on the East Coast very soon. Now, today is the 24th, so these will be in, roughly 10 days or a little over a week. And they, what it says here on bhbanco.org, double protest against NAACP. Protesters will stage actions at the NAACP Washington Bureau on April 3rd and at the Civil Rights Organization's national headquarters in Baltimore the next day. And Reverend Pinckney is quoted here as saying, "We've given the NAACP a free pass, just like we gave Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson, because they are black." And he wants the NAACP's nonprofit status revoked for acting as an annex of the Democratic Party. And from the current issue of blackagendareport.com, one of the greatest news sites in existence, we have the information April 3rd, 10 a.m., NAACP branch office protest, 1156 15th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C. And then on April 4th, the next day, also at 10 a.m., is the NAACP headquarters. That's 4805 Mount Hope Drive in Baltimore. So we're hoping that, thousands of people can show up. The second thing we have after that, I'll just be brief here, is one of the saddest days in Detroit, Michigan's history and in America's history. And this is written by a longtime Detroit activist, Tom Barrow, on the emergency manager. "Today is a sad day for the Barrow family, its ancestors, and the city of my birth. Today, conservative extremists headed by a governor who fooled a majority progressive state take the democracy of my city, and I am saddened. Now, over 50% of Michigan African Americans are needlessly under state control. Only the naive will believe it has to do with some kind of fiscal emergency, for I know that none truly exists. No, my friend, it has to do with Detroit's assets. Some reading this post disagree and openly applaud and welcome this takeover, not realizing or understanding that it signals your own democratic demise. As the governor takes our city and its assets, I am reminded of the unjust Jim Crow laws from decades ago." Now, I can go on. I'm about half through this article by Tom Barrow.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. And by the way, before I continue, he could be talking about Benton Harbor.
Absolutely.
Because that was also just a great big land grab. But anyways, okay. Those unjust Jim Crow laws are as much a part of our history
as was the unhappy years of slavery and must never be forgotten or disregarded. When we disregard the history and ignore that the ancestors of those who created those unjust Jim Crow laws back then were raised by those law creators and are today in many positions of leadership with that same mindset, we are destined for political impotence. No, my fellow Detroiters, you must never stop resisting. For now, Detroit, we will be given a master. Makes no difference the color of the face in front of you, for behind that face is the true master. No, my fair-minded fellow Detroiters, everywhere, while I am saddened, I am also angry. For we are being falsely oppressed based upon a phony, non-existent fiscal emergency rooted in an unjust law, which is nothing short of a Jim Crow-esque abusive law. Act PA 4 was rejected and an unjust successor was created to oppress. My friends, if we did not know why, in 2009, the Wayne County canvassers disregarded 60,000 ballots in a mayoral contest where only 9,500 would alter the result because case seals had been changed. We should all know now. Finally, over the next few weeks, my family and I shall decide our future in Detroit. For now, more than ever, we need strength of leadership, as Livonia's Michael Dugan has been sent, and he is in the temple, chosen to become Bing 2 and complete the takeover circle. And then if you want to go to the website, you'll see another article, The Governor Makes Decision on Detroit Takeover. And there's a photograph of the governor, Rick Snyder, and also the person who he has chosen to be the emergency manager in Detroit, Mr. Orr. And I'm not finding his first name, but I know it. Yeah,
his
Kevin.
First name is Kevin Orr.
Orr.
And he makes $275,000.
How much?
$275,000 plus all expenses, a place to live, transportation, the whole works.
I think I can guess why they're giving him so much money.
You know that he went to school with Snyder in Upton.
University of Michigan in Ann
Arbor? University of Michigan.
You know,
they
if they want...
Roommates.
If the power structure wants to have an underling, in this case Kevin Orr, to do their bidding and really do it upright, they've got to give him a tremendous amount of money.
Yes, yes, and look, he got four liens on his home.
He won't in a while.
Yeah, you won't have it in a while. They're going to take care of that. But listen, on that note, I got to let you go.
Okay.
All right, you have a good day. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
All right. Yolanda, are you there? My good friend Yolanda from Baltimore.
Yvonne. Yes, hello. How are you, Reverend Pinkney?
I'm great. How about yourself? And I want to thank you for the magnificent job you're doing down there for me. And I'm looking forward to coming down there and you and I having a tremendous time.
Absolutely, absolutely. I look forward to seeing you. Did you get the pictures about the building?
Oh, I most certainly did. I cannot believe that the NAACP are slumlords.
Absolutely. You wonder
they're slumlords. That's what
you know. You're on the right track. Where is the money going? You are
right.
On the right track.
Where did that building come from?
It's an old building. I'm going to ride over tomorrow. You know, during regular business hours, and figure out who is the occupancy of that building, because I am sure that the president of the NAACP does not sit in that building, nor does any of his legal counsel or nobody. I think this building is just a place that they can use for revenue, and you're on the right path to do with the audits and the money trail, because no one has ever seen that headquarters building. We know that there's a headquarters, but you have seen it, and it is an absolute dump, people.
A real dump.
Jealous would not, let me tell you, the kind of man the president of the NAACP is, he would not be sitting in office in that building. His building, so I just already made a decision as of yesterday that they may have piped in answering services, you know, and that's why you can call NAACP and you have to refer over, they transfer you over. I can see this because I don't believe that there is a legitimate staff sitting in that building because I went all around it yesterday and it is an absolute dump.
Hey, would you take the time out and try to locate exactly where they might be? And also, tomorrow, we're going to start our calling the national headquarters and telling them that we want Ben Jealous to resign. And I'm going to put something out, email out shortly so everybody can get it. I want every single person to call the office tomorrow. I want my friend Libby to put it out on the email. We want people calling tomorrow. And we were requesting that Ben Jealous and the board resign immediately.
I mean, it's amazing.
Absolutely,
it's amazing.
Absolutely. Listen, you got about 30 seconds to say whatever you want. I got to move on.
Well, I want to thank you for a lovely show this afternoon. You have wonderful guests as usual. And I look forward for you to get here with your march in Washington as well as the one in Baltimore coming up against the NAACP. I look forward to seeing you and like the lady said, God bless and Godspeed. And thank you very much for your service.
And thank you so much. And I tell you, you and I, we are connected right at the hip.
Thank you very much, and I appreciate it. And have a good evening.
All right. Take care now.
Thank you.
Roz, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm highly blessed to be here this afternoon, and your guests were fantastic. And I'm always informed and educated about what is going on, and I see that no matter what color we are, we all have the same issues. We need to unite. We need to not lose heart. We need to pray and stand together, like in Luke 18, 1 through 8, the Lord's parable.
Amen. Go ahead. I'm excited, Rob. Go ahead with it.
I am. What do you want me to do?
Just go ahead. Just talk to me.
Okay, now, workers' comp in the state of California, that's a government agency. The government includes the states. What the state is doing to everybody, they get away with murder. My case is so cruel and inhumane, and I'm one of millions of injured workers in this state. They all have a price. They write these unsubstantiated medical reports. They make these bogus medical exams on people. These doctors write it up. The judges forget what the evidence really is, and they lie in their decisions. They want to lower your rating so you get nothing, so you will die off. And I want everybody not to be afraid. We have God on our side. We need to stand up. We need to speak up. People always think that if you don't speak up, it'll be fine, it'll turn around. It won't. We are in a war zone in America. We have to join forces. Just lock our arms together and stand up and say we've had enough to change everything that's going on. Charles Smith died. The NAACP wouldn't even help him. They wouldn't help them. My health is deteriorating. I can't pay my bills. I don't have money for food. I'm losing my home. It's just a nightmare just because my students sprayed me in my face with a fire extinguisher with the toxic chemicals. The little pamphlet said, do not spray anybody in their face. Charles was sprayed in his face. He's dead. They didn't even call the paramedics for us. They didn't clean up the room with the toxic chemicals. And we all need to stand up. What do you have to lose? We have the TI people, and I'm so sorry. They're killing us. So if you're killing us, we need to stand up and speak up and not be afraid. And that's what the Lord wants.
And you know one thing? You are absolutely correct, Roz. I know that, you know, your friend, because I had the opportunity of speaking with him, and he also talked about the NAACP, and he was an older guy. Very seldom you ever hear anybody say anything that's older, say something bad about the NAACP, but he really didn't have anything good to say about the NAACP. And the truth of the matter is, Charles Smith was a good man. He was, you know,
right.
He was a great man, matter of fact. And unfortunately,
great man with a wonderful heart. Him and his wife Dorothy. It's a blessing to say Charles and Dorothy were my friends.
Absolutely, and they most certainly were your friend. And like I said, I did speak with both of them, I did speak with him, and
right.
And he mentioned you, and you mentioned him to me, and we just had a great conversation before he died. And I think that, you know, we have to learn from this. And if we don't fight together, slowly they're going to pick us off one by one.
Exactly.
That's what's going on today. Believe me, with this microwaving and stuff like that that they're using right now, they want to control the whole world. They don't want to just control me and you. They want to control everybody. They want
All right.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and what have happened with your workman conversation is criminal, you know. But you know one thing? God got the last say. I don't
right.
care
now,
what they say. God got the last say, Ross, and I believe at the end they're going to regret they did this to you.
Right. That's the chip. God.
That's right.
God, you know, I was in Marilyn McComb, Billy Davis's praise outreach on Tuesday night, and I said, you never know where God is going to take you. I had a Bible study at Los Angeles Unified School District. I was the advisor to the Bible Club. I had 150 students to 250. Andre Crouch's church helped me. Jack Hayford's church helped me. Other smaller churches helped. And can you believe it? You have over 100,000 people listening. I've gone from 150 students and teachers and saying how wonderful God is to look to the Lord, whatever we're going through. And now I have 100,000 people. Every week I say, God is with us. We have to keep thanking him every day we get up. We have to thank him for the trials and the battles. We have to come together with all of us. That's what God wanted, united together for this victory in the Lord.
That's it. You said it all. You said it all, Ross. I think
right,
that is tremendous what you're saying. And look, you got about 60 seconds. Say whatever you want. And we just had too many callers on the line tonight, and the board is just too big for me to handle almost now. I may have to get somebody to work the board for me, but unfortunately for us, it's a good thing. It's a real good thing to have this many people calling in and able to say all these things, Rob, and to get a chance to listen to you tell exactly how it is being a teacher in today's world. And I tell you, Roz, I love you, and I love what you're doing, and we're with you 100%. You got 30 seconds now. Say whatever you want, because I took up 30 seconds. But go right ahead.
Okay, that's fine. My email is RozyWow, RozyWow, @AOL.com. Anyone who has who is injured in a workers' comp case here in California and the rest of the United States, and you're having a lot of problems, please contact me. I want to stand with everyone. I want to help everyone make it. I don't want one more person to die or one more person to kill themselves because of this terrible, just disgusting, horrific system that they have going here. It's a billion-dollar industry for the insurance companies, and in the end, it's the taxpayers who are paying for it because the insurance companies don't, and it's your tax money trying to kill you off. But everybody read Luke 18, 1 through 8. A lady just gave it to me, and I want you to have the faith and know and keep saying it. God is with you. We are so blessed to be with you, Reverend Pinckney. The Lord has given you a special anointing to just reach out and to be a healer for people, to inform people, to just be a blessing to so many across America, and to bring all of us together, no matter what color we are. So I praise the Lord for this every Sunday. In Jesus' name, we're going to have a great healing, and a great healing for Lynn, too.
Amen. God bless you. And I got to move on, Roz. I want you to know we love you, and you just stay focused, and we're going to win this battle. At this time, I got to bring Daniel. You're on. Daniel Stockton.
Yes, I'm here.
Yes,
okay.
Yes. You got about 2 minutes to say whatever you want.
Well, I just so appreciate you having this opportunity where people can understand this word fluoride. I know that it can sound a little bit abstract, but it's a chemical. You know how when you hear the word arsenic, you kind of recoil? Well, that's the way we need to feel about fluoride. And there's a lot of information, some great websites that people can go to. Another one besides our website, ours is powerandhealth.org. There's another one that has a lot of the scientific studies. If you want to just look, if you're a diabetic or a kidney patient or a thyroid, go to fluoridealert.org. There's just wonderful information there. And if there's anyone else who is interested in this whole issue, please go to our website and email me through the website, because what we're looking for right now is for fluoride gate hearings, actual scandal investigation hearings. And we need folks to contact the media and anyone they know in the print media or the broadcast media, as well as their state and federal legislators, and say, we would like fluoride gate hearings. Ambassador Andrew Young has called for that, even Reverend Durley, Bernice King, and Alveda King. They're all opposed to fluoridation now, so we just need to keep this momentum accelerating.
No, absolutely. I was just got to be talking to my wife. My grandson may be a victim. She was just telling me about it, and we'll talk about that later. But I'm definitely interested in being part of that. And if I need to go there and speak on it to the Senate or to the House, I'm willing to do so. Whatever you need me to do, I'm here. And I can definitely put it also on my blog. And send me some more information. And my blog is bhbanco.org. You can go there and read most of the articles that we write about. And we just want to make sure people understand how serious this fluoride is. This is a very, very serious issue. And I really just thank you, Daniel, for coming on and telling the people. But you'll come on again, won't you, and just talk a little bit more about it?
Sure. Just tell me the time, and I'd love to come again.
All right, because, you know, we have a tremendous listening audience, and I think that what you put out today was you know, I'm pretty sure I'm going to receive a lot of calls tonight, tomorrow. Make sure that you understand that we're with you 100%.
Well, thank you. God bless you. I just appreciate the opportunity to share this so that people can, so that our bodies are the temple of God, and we need to be taking care of these bodies.
Absolutely. Listen, I will talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right. Dr. Short, are you there?
Yes.
You got 2 minutes and only 2 minutes. Tell me what you got to say.
I want to remind people
that
on Tuesday there is a trial going on for Dr. Gosnell, who had an abortion clinic on 3801 Lancaster Street in Philadelphia. He helped kill a minimum of 8 people. They were taking lives and mutilating them for fun. This is happening at clinics all over the country where they are murdering live babies. We're not talking about abortions inside. We're talking about taking them outside, playing with them, and killing them after playing with them. Do you know that the lawyer for this man is claiming that this murderer of women and babies...
Go ahead.
The murder of women and babies, he's being victimized because of his race. It's time for African-American folks to grow up and get to the point where we can see that, yes, people look differently, but look at their deeds more so than what they look like. This is what Martin Luther King was trying to get us to do. This man who's murdered, who had a Jim Crow clinic, he had a nice, clean waiting room to kill white women's babies, and a dirty room with rodent feces, with blood spattered all over the place for black women. And yet his lawyer is going to claim that he's a victim. He's being a victim of a legal lynching. We need to start coming down. Jesus said if you clean the inside of a cup, you get the outside clean. We spend so much time obsessing on other people and what they do to us, and very little time on what it is we need to get right about ourselves. And with that, by the way, the NAACP isn't standing up for the women that were murdered. We could have guessed that. We really need to get rid of all of the turncoat user pathological fools who are holding us back. And we need to look to God. And if, when you're not looking to man, you see God, you have a different standard. And then, of course, that trial is Tuesday. I'm going up, hopefully, on the day after tomorrow. But everyone, April 3rd, April 4th, be in D.C. and Baltimore. We must take on the National Association for the Abortion of Colored People. We have to bring Boy Jealous and Karen Boykin's Town, the Deborah Bavera Queen, and Rosalind Corporate Jock. We got to bring these fools down. God bless you.
All right. Randy, you take care of yourself, and we love you, and just keep up the good work. Tammy, are you there? Tammy, are you there? It seems like you're having a few problems there. Let me go to 707-528-8211. You got 60 seconds. Say whatever you want.
All right, Reverend Pinckney. Thank you. I was looking at your Facebook page as I was listening in, and I enjoyed listening to that one lady who said to you and everyone else that the Lord revealed much to her during her fast.
Yes.
I thought that was real important, and she also talked about NSA synthetic telepathy, and I want to add to that the Reagan Star Wars program was actually tied into that with subliminal subphonics through every cell phone, TV, computer, 24/7 subliminal subphonics into our little brains all day long. And so when it comes, I want you to know also, I confronted Obama the same year I confronted Cynthia McKinney, Nader Kucinich, and Ron Paul 6 months before they got put into office, that Obama character. And I challenged each one of them in front of about 1,000 people. I said, if you get put into office, will you be releasing Mumia Abu-Jamal and Leonard Peltier? And all of them said yes, except for Obama, where four guys picked me up and tossed me out. And he said, this isn't the time or place for this discussion. And I said, it most certainly was. So I thought the best woman president would have been our first woman black president, and that's Cynthia McKinney, because she, sure enough, was no corporate ninny. And the last thing I'll share with you is that
Cynthia is a friend of ours. She's a personal friend of ours, and we love her from Cynthia McKinney.
Oh, she's great. And when it comes to fighting evil, I think it needs to be emphasized that we only have two choices regarding the serving of two masters, and that's either to accept all this corruption and evil or send it away. And the only way we can send it away is kind of what people were saying last week on your show, with a financial moratorium, but it needs to be for everything, because we are in a world of lies. And if Martin Luther King saw the promised land, where do you think we are? And it is given unto us to change this place from hell into heaven. And we can do this through the 40-day general strike as it's been given to me. And as I've shared, I'm just a messenger, and a 40-day general strike will bring us home. And let us begin on this full moon, so by the 1st, we cease paying all our bills.
That's
and
right.
We withhold it until the D.C. and this corruption comes to their senses after they get put on their knees in front of Almighty.
Very good. And listen, we don't have any more time, but I do want to talk about my good friend Lynn Stewart, and I'm going to do a short prayer for her. And I'm sorry that I couldn't get more people in today. We tried, we did what we can, but next week, if you be first in line, you'll be the first one to be put in next week. But call me and let me know. Gracious Father, we come today, first of all, thanking you and praising your name and lifting you up. Thanking you and only you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for loving us first. We love you so much, Lord. We know that we can do nothing without you. We just praise your name today and lift you up, Lord. We thank you today for all your marvelous blessings, all your past blessings, present blessings, future blessings. But most of all, we like to thank you what you've already done. We like to thank you what you're about to do. We like to thank you for your son, Jesus. And we thank Jesus for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for moving in our life. Lord, we ask that you touch Lynn Stewart right now like you've never done before. Give us strength in your son, Jesus' name. Touch her mind. Touch her heart. Touch her soul. Touch her spirit. Touch that cancer. Touch my TIs right now. Touch their mind. We know that we can win this battle, Lord, but we can't win without you. You have to be in the beginning, the end, and right in the middle. Lord, we thank you so much Lord, I ask you to bless right now. I ask you to bless each and every one of the listeners tonight. Give them strength, Lord, because I know that you're a God who will stand up for anybody. All they have to do is ask, and it should be given. They said, seek, and God shall find. They said, knock, and the doors will be open. Lord, I'm claiming it right now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' precious name. Let's everybody say, amen, and amen, and amen. God bless you all, and we don't have any more time. Not one single second. We are all out of time. Thank you all for listening. Next week, same time, same station. Talk to you later.